reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. The Bible says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Would you say all the people? "Be for all the people today. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Lord, we come to You this morning, knowing that You are an awesome God and a gracious God. Lord, we thank You and we celebrate the gift of Your Son this morning, Lord, that You sent Him as a child, that He would live a sinless life, that He would die on a cross, Lord, to take away our sins, Lord. Lord, we come this morning, put a pause in our days and see the work that You do in these little children, Lord, but we come as little children to You this morning. Lord, we lift up Your name and glorify You this morning, and we make opportunity, Lord, to come and receive that gift from You. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Christmas time means Christmas gifts. Amen? I was preparing for today, and I was remembering 7 or 8 years ago, Joe was much shorter. He is tall now. He was short then. And my wife had scored a trampoline from Sam's Club. How many of you guys been to Sam's Club? It's kind of like Costco or Price Club. You go in there and they got the big stuff for cheap, and she made this score. Oh man, yeah. And so, and it was heavy, and we were hiding it and doing all this stuff. And so it's Christmas Eve. And you've been there, right? You got to wait for the kids to go to sleep and all that stuff. And so here I'm out. I'm going to, put this thing together and grab that thing out the car, and it's heavy, and I'm dragging it around and pull it apart, and I'm in the backyard putting this thing together, and it's kind of, it's a round thing and putting it up, and I finally I get it together, and I'm thinking, man, this thing is big. I think it was a 17 or 18 footer, and I'm going, whoa, man, this is kind of big. So I put it up on the stand, right, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really big. And I put the mesh on, and I'm going, this thing takes up the whole backyard. And so it is Christmas Eve. I had to wait for the kids to go to sleep. I put this thing together, and this thing's too big, man. I had to take the whole thing apart, put it back in the box, drag it back to my car, and go hide it so they wouldn't see it on Christmas Eve, wondering what they were missing. The gift just didn't fit our backyard. Really? Oh, it's on the patio and they saw it. See, I mean, you get old, man. You can just kind of forget all that stuff. I talk about gifts. I am a tough one to shop for because I don't need that much. And what I got, or what I need, I got. And so I get gifts, and it's just like, oh, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this. I'm going to take it all back. And much to the consternation, as you heard, of my wife. And but I capitalized on that. About 2 years ago, I started this new shopping technique, usually on Christmas Eve. Now, you men, you can take notes. You got some notes, so you can take notes on that. What I do is I take my two teenage children, and we'll go to a clothing store. Doesn't really matter which one, just a close one. And I'll say, okay, I'm getting in line. You go pick out some stuff for your mom. Just pick it out, just quick. And we'll get like 10 or 12 gifts, right? Pick them out, and we'll wrap them and put all that stuff up. And then, because, I mean, you get stuff, it doesn't fit, it's not right, but she still gets to have the fun of opening it. I'm hoping out of the 10, out of the 12, out of the 15 things that we buy, one or two is going to work. And then I'll take them back, and what do I got to do? I only got to go to one store. That's cool. So it is the, I've given that up. The kids are, I don't shop like that anymore, huh? So let you know. Yeah. And then I also, this is another little thing, I take my kids out and let them go buy their own stuff for them. And then I know that they got what they want. But sometimes gifts can be tough. Gifts can be a challenge. We come to Christmas time and we talk about the greatest gift of all. Amen? We talk about the gift of God's Son. John 3:16, maybe you've heard about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal, should not perish and have eternal life. Amen? Isn't that good? Amen. As good as that is, some people struggle with that gift. Some people have a problem fitting that gift into their lives. Maybe you come in here this morning and you have struggled with that fit. God's gift can take a little work to make fit your life. How many of you have found that to be true? Yeah, you got to kind of work it in. Kind of got to you got to kind of rearrange some things to fit God's gift in. So, talk about Christmas changes, talking about the gift of God, and today we're going to talk about grabbing on to that gift. Amen?
Amen.
Come on now, you can say it. Amen.
Amen.
So I like hearing Charles Curley say amen because he says amen. That's good. Good to see you, Charles. All right, praise the Lord. Here we go. We are going to take a look at Simeon. We're going to take a look at some people who grabbed onto that gift, and we're going to take a look at some people who struggle with that gift today. And the first person we're going to take a look at is Simeon. End of chapter 2, or towards the end of chapter 2 of Luke, it says, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was an old man. I want to be an old man and be known as a man who's righteous and devout. Doesn't that sound good, gentlemen? I say, you can be a righteous lady. You read about Anna, who's old lady and righteous and devout. That's something we can shoot for. Back to Simeon, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And Simeon was looking for a change. Simeon was waiting for the gift of God. There are those people that get wind of what God might do for them. You saw the people who had raised their hand saying that they had been blessed by God when we were taking offering. And you might look around and go, whoa, hey, how do I sign up for that? There are people who are ready to receive the gift of God, who will grab onto that gift and change their lives to fit that gift in. Not just return it, not just reject it. Simeon was such a man. He was looking for a change. And he was looking for a change because Israel was a mess. Israel was messed up. The Romans were in charge. It was an occupied country. And the Romans would tax you. And they would stand around like with machine guns and stuff. You know, they had swords, they had everything. If you did something wrong, they could kill you. Things were a mess. And the people that they turned to, the religious leaders of the day, they were sold out. They were sold out to the Romans. And nothing was real. And so Simeon, he gets this promise revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. You will not die until you see the Christ. And he is grabbing onto that promise. And he is holding out for that gift because he's tired of the way it is. Maybe Christmas 2012. You're tired of the way it is. Maybe things around you are just a con and a sham. And there's nothing good. Why would I let you know this morning that there is a promise from God that still exists? Promise for who? For all the people. That there is great joy. The thing is you've got to have some room in your life to let it fit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's take a look. Oh, it says this word here. He's looking for the consolation of Israel. And you think, consolation? You know, it's like a consolation prize. What is up with that? You know, and that word there for consolation is paraklesis. Right? And some of you might be familiar with that word. It means comfort. He was looking for the comfort of Israel. And I want to let you know that comfort of Israel comes in the form of a person. Amen? It is so neat. When you come to Christmas morning, it is so easy to see that comfort in the form of a person. We see the baby Jesus. And you're thinking, boy, I could use some comfort in my life. I could use some peace in my life. Oh, that I could have lived back then. But Jesus said, as he grew up and entered his ministry and prepared to go to the cross, he said, I am going to the Father, and it's a good thing. Because I will send the Father, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. And it's interesting that that word for counselor is that same word for consolation. It is parakletos. So he says, Simeon was waiting for that comfort, for that paraklesis. And Jesus said, I'm going to send you the parakletos that's going to come, and he's going to be a comfort to you. And the Holy Spirit will come, Jesus says, and he will guide you into truth. And he also says that he's going to lead you out of or away from sin. Now, here's the challenge. You got to want to get into truth and get away from sin. And there's some people who just don't want to do that. Where are you at this morning? What do you want most in 2012? It might be a new Toyota. It might be something that you can put on your wrist or put on your finger. But maybe what you really need is a person that would come into your life like the baby Jesus did and like the Holy Spirit will. Amen? Simeon was looking. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Where is this? Took him in his arms, and this probably held him a little bit better than this. He says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people in Israel. Simeon was moved by the Spirit of God. Why are you here this morning? Maybe there is we had a play, I know. Some of you are here because of the play. We got tamales coming afterwards. Some of you moved by tamales. But some of you, there might be something going on with God right here, right now. That he has called you into this place, and there's something more going on than just a play, and something more going on than just tamales. That God is doing a work in your life. God was doing a work in Simeon's life, and he said, go, this is the day, this is what you're going to find. And he's going, and he's seeing Mary and Joseph walk in, and there's a baby, and Holy Spirit says, that's it right there. God will bring a gift to you this morning. But Simeon wasn't going, well, just bring them on by. Simeon went, I don't know what it takes to get a newborn baby out of a mom's, well, I actually do because I've had a couple. You know, but to just have some unknown old man come up to my wife and say, hey, can I hold your baby? She's like, no, not on your life. And she got family members, she backs off. No, not you. There was something that went on between Simeon and Mary. The gift of God is there for you, but you're going to have to step into it. You're going to have to do a little something to make that work. And as he said, you know what? I've been waiting for this my whole life, and there was an angel that spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me, pointed out to you this morning. He told me that you have the consolation of Israel in your arms. Mary knowing that she had received the same type of message from that angel, and Joseph had received the message from the Lord in a dream. They're going, whoa, we're on the same page. He says, can I hold your baby? Can I hold my Savior? And she says, yeah. And he says, oh, Sovereign Lord, I have received all that you promised me in my life. You can take me home now. I'm feeling good. Maybe you need that this morning. What's in the way? What's in your way this morning? Why can't you receive the gift of God? Several years ago, about the same time we did the trampoline, I got a hankering, and I decided to buy I bought my own Christmas gift. I bought a 90-year-old saxophone, and I had to fix it, and I had to shine it, and I had to do all this kind of stuff. But my dad had a saxophone as a kid, and I ended up selling it for some bad stuff. And so, you know, Lord, and I saw this opportunity, and I put some time in on that thing just to get it to play. And then once I got it to play, I had to put time into it to figure out how to play it. How many of you guys ever learned how to play a musical instrument? It takes a little work, amen? And I'll tell you what, I spent hours with that thing. And I got great joy and great comfort playing that saxophone. And that is very similar to what it takes to receive the gift of Jesus as your Savior. I mean, you can come in here today and you can say, oh, Lord, I want this new life. I need the peace and joy and comfort that comes from knowing you. But as you begin to work him in your life, it takes effort. You're going to want the gift of God. You got to grab on. You got to go through some stuff, and you got to fit it to your life. And there's some people who don't. They don't want to. Some people don't want the gift. Kind of head on to Easter time. Well, actually, move about 33 years ahead. I believe the scholars on the lifespan of our Lord, that as it came to the end of his life, here on earth anyway, there were some problems. There were some people who had problems with who he was. There were some people who had problems with the gift. And it was the priests. Crazy enough, the very people that are there to try to build a relationship with God were the ones who had a problem with God. Let's take a look. Matthew 26, 1 through 4. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away. He was crucified on Passover, by the way. And the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. And they plotted to arrest Jesus and in some sly way to kill him. That's having a problem with the gift. Amen? That's like supreme rejection there. To many, Jesus will come as a threat. And Jesus, if you accept him this morning, will come as a threat to all that you know and all that you have. Because he says, you want new life, you got to give me your old life. The priests had no room for God in their lives. They were working in the house of God. But the house of God for them was a way to get power. The house of God to them was a way for them to achieve prestige and recognition. House of God to them was a way for them to get paid. And so as Jesus came, he was a threat to all their action. And as you consider receiving Jesus as your Savior this morning, he is indeed a threat to all your action. Can I get a witness on that? He says, hey, you love your life, you're going to lose it. You're going to give me your life, I'll give you brand new life, eternal life. Amen. You'll live forever. You have a whole new vision and a whole new hope. These guys didn't want it. They liked their actions so much, they decided that they were going to try to find a way to kill Jesus. They end up lying on him. Pilate said, I find no problem with this man. He said, kill him anyway. I'll release him to you. No, give us the thief. Give us Barabbas, a killer. But make sure that you kill Jesus, because we got no room for him in our lives. The reason many of us have no room for Jesus in our lives is because our lives are already filled. Don't got room for Jesus, and we're not ready to give up anything that gets in the way. And if that's you this morning, perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart saying, you need to make a change. If you won't make a change, there is little hope for you. You'd just be like the religious leaders of the day who crucified Jesus. You'll be just like the Romans who actually hung him on a cross. But today, you can receive the gift of God. But you got to grab on. Amen. Amen? Threat will come into your home if you receive Jesus. Then what are you talking about? These are the words of Jesus. Matthew 10, 34 through 39. Do not suppose, this is Jesus talking, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. You can get peace in your heart. As you walk away from sin, as you get the Holy Spirit in your life, you're going to have peace. But he says that peace comes at a great cost. He says, I did not come to bring peace but a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father. A daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Maybe you already got that. I'm already fighting with my mother-in-law. I get along pretty good with mine. My wife gets along great with my mom. But there's a tug we got with my mom. She doesn't see the Lord quite the same way we see the Lord. There's a division. There's a tension that comes. It says, anyone who loves, this is hard, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. How many can say that's a sacrifice? It says, anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me. And you know how much my wife loves my son? I was just thinking, my daughter's not in the room right now. How many, where's that kid? Look at this kid. Hold that kid up there, Maddie. It's not even your kid. Where's mom? Where's mom at? Right back there. How much you love that little baby? Look at that cute little baby. How many of you moms love your kids? Oh, yeah. He says, oh, that little baby's going, I love my mama. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and my sake will find it. There's a threat that Jesus will bring right into your home. He says, I got a gift for you. Let me tell you what it's going to take to get it. All you have and all you know. You turn it over to me, I'll shuffle it up a little bit, and I'll turn it back to you. I'll give you a new life. All you have, all you know. You're going to get the joy of Jesus. You're going to have to surrender all your efforts to make your own joy. And you'll find it. For some, it's just too much of a cost. Just got too much going. I can't give up my action. You leave here today the same way, except for one thing. Jesus will say, now you know what you got to give up. I thought about this week. You leave today, and you're heading to Poway, or heading to Chula Vista, you can't hit both of them going the same direction. You leave here today, you're going to have to make a choice. And some of you, you say, Poway is your hopes, desires, dreams, and action, and Chula Vista is the way of the Lord. Some of you have been heading to Poway. Maybe not even very fast. Messing up your life time after time after time. Still, you walk out of that door. Still, you sit in this chair. You're going to have to make a choice. I'm going to still keep on going my way. Or you can do like a lot of people have done in this room and say, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to come out. I'm going to make a turn. And I'm going to go God's way. Does that make sense? Amen. All right? Because we are about right here. Right? You come out of here, you're going to hit Chula Vista or you're going to hit up Poway. Now, this is what kind of blew my mind this week. If you're an Alpine, you can make massive changes in your life and you don't have to choose whether or not you're going your way or God's way for a while. Does that make sense? Check it out. You come out of here today, boom. You're either going to go your way or you're going to go to God's way. You're over here, you can go a long way, especially if you're moving slow, before you got to make a choice. Now, and some of you leaders in this church, speaking to you, many of the folks that come into this place are starting a long way away. And you can come into this church and you can be pursuing the betterment of your life. And it looks good to everybody. But you're really just trying to make some better choices heading your own way. Now, because the person that's here, well, starting from here, if you're heading towards God or you're heading towards you, looks the same. You got a lot of work to do before you got to make that choice. Am I going to go to God? Am I going to go to God? Or am I going to continue going to me? And that is why We have got so many people that will come here for a while and gain positive life skills and make some great changes in their life, and we celebrate it. And they progress to a point, and all of a sudden they choose to go the other way. Maybe you are wondering why you've been here for a while, and all of a sudden it is tough. All of a sudden it is a greater challenge because you have not yet made that choice. We've been showing you the way to get to God, but you've been using the same techniques to get to you, your plans, your desires, your fullness. And you're really frustrated because you've been doing good and everybody's been slapping you on the back, but you are right here. And you don't understand. Today I'm telling you why you're frustrated. Because you got to make the choice. You might even be sliding along here. Or you might be sliding along here. You see, Jesus says, you want to find your life? You want to keep your life? You're going to lose it. And you come in here today, you might have to make a choice. Because Christmas will change you. Amen? Does that make sense? Well, that's kind of quiet. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's just move right on. I'm gonna end with one of my favorite people in the Bible, the woman at the well. Because we're talking about people who receive the gift and people who say no to the gift. Amen? And this was a woman whose life was devouring her. That she brought out her bucket in the heat of the day. Nobody brought their bucket out in the heat of the day because it was hot. But she didn't want to face her neighbors, and she didn't want to face the people around her. And so she came out when nobody else was around. And Jesus met her there. Jesus said, give me a drink of water. And the lady basically said, get your own water. You're a slave. Don't order me around. I want nothing to do with you. Let me read to you about the water. John 4:13-15, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whatever drinks the water I give him, will never thirst. You come in here thirsty today? You need a drink? Come in here and see a little play and feel good. Oh, it's so nice. But you got something deeper going on. You got a deeper need than looking at some cute. Those kids are cute, amen? Cuteness will only get you so far. How many of you have found that? No. After a while, I'm going to find out one day. That cuteness will just kind of slide right off you. You let me know when it slides off me, okay? See how good I looked on that video? I looked good up there, didn't I? You can only get by on looks for so long. It says, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. You come in here today and you are thirsty. You come in here today, you are hungry. All your efforts, all your striving does not meet the needs that you have. Jesus will meet you here. He's got a gift for you, but you got to grab on. And sometimes we got some stuff that's in the way. It says you can't grab on to me and grab on to your life at the same time. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water. I want some water so that I won't have to come in here. I won't have to deal with these people around here. Give me this water. So I won't get thirsty and have to come in here to draw my water. There is an opportunity for those that are ready. You're here today and you're hungry. You're here today and you're thirsty. There's an opportunity for you today. But there's a cost. She says, show me this water. Where's this water? Let me get to my right page here. Many of us, I got real good at running from my problem. She came out in the heat of the day. Get used to avoiding truth, avoiding the facts that are causing your hunger and causing your thirst. She says, get your own water. Holy Spirit guided you today here. Guided you here today because you're thirsty and hungry. If he has, there's a couple of questions that you might ask. One is, what is this water? Where are you going to get this water? You don't even have a bucket. It says, I got water. Jesus says, I got water. It'll change your life. It says, come to me and you'll never be thirsty again. It says, come to me and you will have an overflow in your life that you have never experienced before. And she says, who are you? And he says, I'm the one you're waiting for. She says, I'm waiting for a Savior. And he says in John chapter 4, verse 26, I who speak to you am he. Are you looking for a Savior today? They talked for a little while longer. He spoke into her heart, into her life, confirmed the fact that he was indeed her Savior. And she ran off, leaving her bucket to tell everybody who she had met. Are you thirsty this morning? Has the Holy Spirit guided you here this morning to find fullness in your life? Lisa, you want to come up here? My question for you is, what are you holding on to? What action do you have in your life that is keeping you from embracing the gift of God? Because the gift comes to you this morning. To have an effect, you have to grab on. To grab on, you can't have your hands filled with your life. Jesus says, you surrender your life, I'll give you new life. Come in here this morning and you're hungering and you're thirsting for more than what you have. The Holy Spirit is telling you right now, this is why I brought you here today. It wasn't a play and it wasn't a tamale. It was this right here. I have the gift of eternal life for you. Question is, what do you got in the way? Because if you're going to receive the gift of God, you're going to have to grab on. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are mighty and awesome, Lord, that you came as a child. Lord, that you surrendered all the fullness that you had with the Father before time began. And you came as a child to get colds and to learn how to walk and to learn how to do all kinds of things. The people didn't make room for you. They pushed you away. They made plans to kill you and destroy you, murder you. They had no room. There was no room for Mary. There was no room for Joseph. There was no room for you. This morning, you speak to people's hearts. Say, I am your Savior. All right? The one you're waiting for. What you're looking for is me. Your comfort comes in a person. And I am here to transform your life this morning. You have to give up everything to get it. You're sitting here this morning and you are pretty much freaking out because God is speaking right to your heart. You're afraid I'm going to say your name. I know this because I have sat where you're sitting. And I have been afraid that the preacher was talking so clearly to me, he was actually going to say my name. I don't know your name. God knows your name. God knows that this is for you this morning. There is a gift. He is standing here holding out just a wrapped gift for you this morning. And he's saying, you want this? You've got to grab on. You're going to grab on. You're going to have to empty your hands. There are some parts of your life you're going to have to let go. I've talked to you about this for a long time. Today it becomes clear. And he is saying, I'll give you eternal life, but you've got to give me your old life. This morning you're considering that. This morning it has become apparent that a change is needed in your life. And you're ready to be changed this Christmas. Nobody looking around. God is speaking right to your heart. You're saying, oh, Lord, I am so sorry because I know that you have been talking to me about this for years. I'm ready to change. I'm ready to make a surrender and pick up this gift of new life with nobody looking around. And I'm not going to say your name, but the Holy Spirit is piercing your heart right now. And you want to say, here I am, Lord. I am yours. I am ready for this new life. I don't want to wait anymore. I'm not going to hold back anymore. I want to receive you as my Savior. I am so messed up. But I'm ready to make a change this morning with nobody looking around. God is speaking to your heart. I just want you to just raise your hand up quickly. Just raise your hand up over here, right here, right here, right there. Anybody else over here? Right there. Praise the Lord. Here. Praise God. Once I see your hand, you can put it down. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Right there. Praise the Lord. Right now. Jesus is holding out a gift to you. He says, it's not a box. It's me. Put his hands, arms wide, and they put nails in them. He's your gift. You didn't put your hand up because there's hesitation. I did that. On the day I gave my life, there was hesitation. The pastor said, I'm going to pause one more moment. That's when I put my hand up. You didn't put your hand up before. Right now, I am pausing for you. Is that you this morning? You want to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. One last moment. Could be for you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand up. Back there. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you one more question. Lord Jesus, for each of these, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you give us new hope, new future, Lord, a new life, Lord, as we set down the buckets of the patterns, Lord, the action that we have, Lord, trying to make our own joy. We set that aside, Lord. And right now we are empty. Those that have prayed and raised their hands and expressed this interest, right now you are doing that. You are empty. Say, Holy Spirit, come right now and fill me, Lord. I want new purpose. I want new life. I want what the pastor has talked about this morning. I want to know you as my King, my Savior, and I will follow you. If that is you this morning, you raise your hand and want you to say amen.